A few announcements before the homily. First, just a reminder that right after Mass, we'll meet at the statue of St. Faustina for our weekly praying of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. The deacon, myself, and the servers will go to the statue. We ask that you stay in your place while we offer this chaplet for our beloved dead. We do this every Tuesday. It's a beautiful act of charity we offer to those who've gone before us with a sign of faith. So I hope you can stay and join in those prayers. Last night, Natalie Jackson's show, Our Cloud of Witnesses, was particularly moving. She did the story of St. Monica. I hope many of you saw that. If you didn't, it's available on our Grace Lily page. A beautiful expose of this holy woman. Reminder that happens every Monday at 7 o'clock live. Well, it's presented first at 7 and then afterwards on Grace Lily. Also reminded every day at 4 o'clock, I'll be doing a daily briefing, just updating you on various things happening in the parish. Yesterday, I was surprised. We had over 160 people tune in. I'm like, okay, watch out, folks, right? A lot of people want to know what's going on, so that's good, right? So I have some more updates today. That's at 4 o'clock. You can watch it live, or you can watch it anytime afterwards. It's on our Grace Lily page. Also, just want to remind you, this weekend is Father's Day, and we are very happy to be able to give a blessing at all of our Masses for our fathers. So those who are with us, and of course, those of the 11 who are with us through live stream. So this weekend we'll give that blessing to all of our fathers. So looking forward to that. Reminder, we have 4 Masses this weekend, Saturday at 4 and 5:30, Sunday 9 and 11, and we're limited at 140 worshipers. So I tell people, if you come early, you'll be good to go. If you're late to Mass and you don't have a seat, well, that kind of what's happens, you know? So please do what you can. We try to get everyone in as best we can. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So when I was growing up, every once in a while we go to the state fair. And there at the state fair, every once in a while I get this huge thing of cotton candy. I love that cotton candy. It looks so colorful. I thought, that's just going to taste great. Then I get the cotton candy, I put some in my mouth, and it would just fade away. Like, where'd it go? Then I try again. Fade away. I ate that whole thing. It would be more hungry after eating the cotton candy, right? And so eventually I'd have to get something else. And I realized with the cotton candy, it was all fluff and no stuff. And so oftentimes, I want us to have that image because I think that's how people approach God. They think, yes, if you please be seated. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, please. There we go. Yep. Any of the open seats. Thank you. All right. It's good for us to have that image of this cotton candy because oftentimes in our world today, people can approach God like that. God's just supposed to be this big piece of cotton candy, all fluff. No stuff. Well, that's definitely not the account we have from Scripture, is it? In fact, if we look at the first reading, we see something very different. So oftentimes it can shock the contemporary believers to realize that God does inflict punishment and discipline upon His children. Sometimes we can think in our contemporary world, we can do whatever we want. Right? We can commit grave sin. We can offend a sacrifice. We can even receive Holy Communion sacrilegiously, and there are no consequences. But every sin that goes unrepentant calls forth the justice of God. If we want to fulfill the justice of God, we should repent. Then there's no need for discipline. God is willing to give His mercy. To the soul that turns to Him, as we also saw in our first reading, God's willing to give that mercy, for He is compassionate and kind, especially to His children. But unrepentant sin, justified sin, rationalized sin, calls forth discipline. That's very important for us to remember. It was important today for the King of Israel to be reminded of that. God was so strict to him because he was engaging in idolatry. He killed a just man and stole his property. And God said to him, "The dogs will eat your wife and lick up your blood." Severe punishment. Now, luckily, the king of Israel was smart, at least on this occasion. He goes on, and we're going to see the rest. His end is not good, nor his wife Jezebel. She actually is eaten by dogs later. But there are consequences to our sin. And if we think, no, 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 God's so good and so wonderful, I can offend him, offend the dignity of another, offend his law, offend his majesty, and there are no consequences. Well, that's just the foolishness of our contemporary age. That's not biblical. So what is our task? Our task is the children of God to realize that we have a merciful God and to readily turn to him and repent of our sins, all of them. Because for every sin that we purposely hold back, for every sin that we will not repent of, God will bring forth punishment. And the bad thing about sin is when God inflicts his punishment and discipline, it's never just to us. Our loved ones suffer because of the consequences of our sin. So someone who has a bad mouth, they gossip, they slander, and God has to inflict discipline. Discipline isn't just upon them. It's upon their family, their loved ones, their neighbors, their accomplices, all those things. So dear friends, I'm going to invite us as we celebrate Mass today not to approach God as if he's some type of cotton candy. No substance, no backbone. It's just cotton candy. It's all fluff. Happy, happy God. Happy, happy, happy. Everything's fine. I can, you know, support abortion and gay marriage, and I can offend my neighbor, and I can look at porn, and I can lie, and there's no consequences. Happy, happy, happy. So many of our contemporary people do that. And then we wonder why so many are stuck, why so much evil is happening in our world, why the kingdom of darkness seems to be so strong. The kingdom of darkness is only as strong as it is in our hearts and in our world because we, the children of light, let it. We have a power that the darkness cannot understand, can never understand. We have to repent, receive God's mercy, so that we can be instruments of that light. Humble that darkness and dispel it. We offer this Eucharist. We ask that God to convert our hearts that we might be able to approach him as Savior, not as judge.